Welcome to the Indie Beast Sunday Show with me, Christine, and Willem Els of the Institute for Security Studies. Welcome back, Willem.
Thank you, Chris.
Willem, questions are piling up about the handling of the Bellito bomb plot. You and I have had a chance to study the Boys' Manifesto in depth. Chillingly, at the end of that manifesto is his recipe, his bomb-making recipe. Now, you are an explosives expert. In fact, you taught General Mokonazi how to dismantle bombs. How dangerous a bomb was this boy making? Or had he made?
Yeah, thank you for that. I think it's a very important question, especially in the wake of what happened. We must just first reiterate that the police is investigating, the Hawks investigating. The case is ongoing. So we do not know a lot about the case itself, apart from what emanated in the press, but also what we could have delved and put out of his manifesto that was online. So that is really troublesome, because along with the recipe, he had a plan of action. And he stipulated out his plan of action and his intent on what to do. Now, he wanted to use what we refer to as an IED, or an improvised explosive device. And he said he's going to add some nails to the device in order to kill and maim as many people as possible. He was going to place it in a duffel bag in the restaurants area of the mall. And then he indicated that he will wait at a safe place from there, and then with a knife and some pepper spray, and then the people fleeing away from the bomb, he would then engage with them and stab them with a knife. And then after that, he was going to, according to him, get some poison and cyanide, and then he would do it, actually commit suicide. So that was his plan of action for this thing. If you look at the recipe, we're not going to go in depth in all the ingredients of the recipe, but that recipe is available on the internet and on the dark net as well. And we know that our school children and our young people are very savvy on the net, and they have access to a lot of these things. So if you now go on the internet and on Google, and you type in and search for homemade explosive with homemade and readily available ingredients, I mean, you will get 40,000-50,000 different websites that can teach you how to do that. The problem with that is, on all those websites, they do not always have the warnings. They do not caution you about the dangers. It doesn't caution you, for instance, that there will be a heat reaction. It must be mixed on a certain temperatures, etc., etc., making it very dangerous for the people that take that recipe, and they are not very experienced as chemists. Then it's got some inherent dangers for that. But going back to the recipe, you know what was really alarming for me. When I look at especially the one ingredient that he stipulated there that is part of his recipe, so with any explosive substance that you mix, you have to have two ingredients. The one is your reducing agent, the one is your oxidizing agent. So the one is the fuel, and the other one is it provides the oxygen inside the mixture. So that was there. And also, we see that it was similar, not exactly the same, but similar to, for instance, the type of explosives that was mixed by ISIS in Europe, especially the attacks in Paris, the attack on the airport and in Brussels, and so on, that killed a lot of people. Very similar. Also, referred to ISIS as the mother of Satan. That explosives. So it's not exactly the same. It's got some of the ingredients, but it just indicates to you that this is what you can get on the internet. Some years ago, Chris, and I must go back to some of my experiences where children actually mixed these type of explosives. I was still in the police, and I was traveling home, and I was called that there was an explosion at the one of the police compounds in Linwood Road, or just off Linwood Road in Pretoria. And when I got there, I found a guy of similar age of this guy, and apparently he was good in chemistry, and in school they mixed some explosives, and they tested it on the tennis court at school. And then this guy wanted to make a bigger bomb. You want to go bigger and bigger and bigger. And he mixed the explosives, and he confined it within a homemade confined, like cardboard rolls and plaster of Paris and all the things that he constructed it with. And then he wanted to actually confine and stamp the explosive. Now, this type of explosive is extremely sensitive to heat, shock or friction. And he used the handle of a cricket bat. He placed the device between his legs, his feet, and he was sitting on his bed, and he was stamping it down. And unfortunately, he detonated. So when I got there, he was laying on his bed, of what was left of his bed, and under his knees, there was nothing. Both his legs were blown away. And that was, to me, a very traumatic experience. You know, this young man, he had his whole life ahead of him, and this is what happened. Now, the similar thing can happen with other children that are also experimenting with these things. It's extremely dangerous. I know on the groups they chat, and it's nice to make a bang, you make a cracker of this, and children are curious. But it is extremely, extremely dangerous to actually mix these ingredients. And most of them, you know, like with this one, it comes from your readily available homemade ingredients. It's in the house. It is our household ingredients. So that makes it very, very dangerous. And we must really caution our children. You know, it can happen to them as well. Fortunately, in this incident, it did not happen. He mixed it safely, and it seems that he managed to build his device, to deliver his device. And unfortunately for him, fortunately for us, it did not detonate, only deflagrated in the form of smoke and so on.
What do you think prevented the explosion?
I think the intent for him to plant, he did everything that he intended to do. But normally what you do, you have to have a good knowledge of your and why things are in your recipe and also in your construction of the device. So I believe it was a flaw in his construction that actually caused that this device deflagrated, or deflagrate is fast burning. So it was just burning very fast instead of detonating.
Willem, now let's recap. He planted this device on a Sunday in a packed food court. The date was 29 March. He was not arrested. The FBI alerted the Hawks, but the bomb had already been placed. He then spent time in a psychiatric hospital, but on July 1, he was back at the mall. On July 3, he was arrested, but last week he was released again. What is happening with this case as far as you know?
Yeah, that is very alarming, the way in how this case has been dealt with. I think there are a lot of questions to be asked, and I believe there will be an investigation and there will be some consequences, because the way it was dealt with was not really in the interest of public safety and also of the rule of law. Having said that, ever since the Hawks have taken over the case, they are busy with the case now, and we believe that progress will be made. Because incidents like this is normally investigated by your CATS, or your Crimes Against the State Unit, very experienced investigators, and we assume that is going to really end well for the investigation. In terms of the response of the mall, that they follow their own procedures, we don't know. It will come out, but it doesn't seem that happened. But also with the local police, you know, you should have opened a case and then there should have been an arrest. And then also when they confiscate any of these exhibits like this device that then just burnt, it should be booked into your SAP 13, that is your exhibit register. There are certain prescripts, there are, like we call, standing orders in order to deal with that. But we saw that there's some speculation whether it was booked in or not. But also at the end of the day, there are also indications that this improvised explosive device was then handed back by the police to the mother of this child.
Does this not illustrate the dangers of dismissing the deadliness of an improvised explosive device? I think you can tell us just how deadly they can be.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and What I believe, I think it's maybe a wake-up call. Fortunately, there were no deaths or injuries here. But it is maybe the time now that the police and the authorities embark on a awareness program, because it is very important that the public must be informed. It is very important that the children must be informed about the dangers, but also about the consequences, should they then play with these things. So I believe the police will do that. I know that they want to act proactively. And once that has happened, we believe that once that awareness is amongst our children, it will prevent similar incidents in future.
There are fears now of copycat attacks. What are your sources in the police telling you they are preparing to do to try and prevent that?
In the first place, you know, the guys are on alert and they are really ready to deal with that. But unfortunately, with incidents like this, if you don't have intelligence on it, you know, it's difficult to act proactively. So that is the challenge that we have. And also, we refer to this type of incidents as a lone wolf incident. And you know, it is one of your more difficult operations to crack intelligence wise, because when you've got a few people or a cell working, there's communications, there's money transfers, there's a lot of these things that you can investigate, and also that can give you an indication that something is happening like this. The only time sometimes with these is once they get onto a group, like on the Telegram group, and then they post their manifest, then you pick it up, and then it's most often it's too late.
Willem, what did you make of the rest of the manifesto? Parts of it were written by the boy himself. One could tell, and he doesn't seem highly educated. But then there were parts that were perfectly composed, almost as if though he had cut it from the internet, cut and paste. A very complicated intellectualization of certain philosophies.
Yeah, I think it's just you can see this is a really disturbed boy. He was reaching out. I'm not a expert in that field, but when we work with radicalization, you pick that up, especially in the terrorism field. But what we see here is that in the first place, this boy, being 15 years old, we see that he also was taken out of school for some time, so he's not with the same grade as his fellow as his peers, and so on. So there seems to be a history of challenges with this boy, and at the end of the day, if you allow them to continue with this, you and you don't pick up those signs, then it can go south very, very, very fast. So if you look at these type of incidents, sorry, Chris, and I'm just going to refer to to the Columbine referrals there, because, you know, he started off with his own sort of, and you can see that his mind, that was his writing, and then he went into some philosophies and even to Karl Marx, you know, all of those heavy philosophers. But you can see that was cut and paste from the internet. And then he went into his ideology, where he's coming, those that he glorified. And there it came in the glorification of the Columbine shooters. Now, I think it was 1999 or 98, there were two boys that actually took weapons and stuff to the school, and they killed 14 of their fellow students and teachers, and then they killed themselves. So he glorified them in his manifest, and he said that he wanted to be remembered like them. So that is a clear indication of where he's coming from and why he was doing what he was doing. And then, of course, he referred to being bullied. He referred to being, not a very, very good family life, etc., etc. But it was more of a revenge. This guy was mad at the world for treating him the way that it treats him, and this is his way out. And he's in his manifest, he says he wants to be remembered like the two guys from the Columbine shooting, and that is very alarming.
And he wrote, "I'll be a god at least."
That's it.
So Willem, is this your classical lone wolf profile?
It is. You know, you've got different profiles on them. You can have a lone wolf that is being radicalized from a terrorist organization, but he's not part of a cell, and he can follow the same route. He won't communicate a lot. The first thing you hear about it is when he actually perpetrates the attack, or she. So this is your typical. If you look at your school shootings in America, we had quite a few of them. And he glorified in this. He glorified that he said that the Columbine shooting led to hundreds of shootings in America, of school shootings. So now, I don't know if there were hundreds of them, but that was his perspective. So, I think it is very close to that profile, and it is something that our parents should be looking out for. You know, if you got a troubled child, that parental oversight should be there. And especially if you pick up the danger zones, like what was mentioned in this case, it is very, very, very important that we keep our children safe.
And how would you advise parents to try and establish whether their children had gone over to the dark side, literally the dark web?
Yeah, you know, I'm a parent myself, and you know your child. If you've got a very good relationship, you've got a cordial relationship with your children, you will pick up the danger signs of that. They will start to. Okay, most children, when they go into teenage years, they want to be in their room and alone and so on. But it is very important that you keep a tab, keep in engaging with them, as et cetera, et cetera. And also their internet traffic. There must be a way that if you suspect something, that you can monitor that, because all of these things are so, it's on the internet, it's all over the internet, not even on the dark net. It is on the open Google. You can find a lot of these things, but just a caution on that. With most of those recipes and things that you have on the internet, they omitted one of the ingredients, for instance, or they don't give you the whole picture. So children should worry, should really look out. If they want to go in that, it is not safe. It is really not safe because, for instance, like I mentioned with the temperatures, if you don't mix it at the right temperature, you can blow up yourself and you can die. It is not always in the recipe on the internet. So be very cautious. Do not do that, because at the end of the day, you might end up like that young boy that we picked up in that compound in Pretoria.
Thank you. That was Willem Els of the Institute for Security Studies, giving business viewers the latest on the Bellito bomb plot. Thank you so much, Willem. I'm Christine for BizNews on the NDB Sunday Show.